Welcome back, Michael and Thomas. Here to discover the Finger Lakes, and what a day to get out and explore the region. Whether it's maybe heading a little bit west and picking apples at Herd Orchards, or tasting wine, one of the many, many wineries around our region. Herd Orchards said they have Jonagold, Mutsu, Empire, and Ruby Frost apples right now, and also Northern Spies, which 20-ounce in Cortland's, some awesome baking apples. Sort of the ultimate pie apple is the Northern Spy, which was found here in our area. If you drive down Route 64 from 5 and 20, just a little ways south of 5 and 20 on Route 64, you'll see a historic marker for the orchard where the Northern Spy apple was found back in the 1840s at some point. And I've told the story before. I'll keep it short, but basically in those days, farmers were planting apples from seeds, and they generally produced terrible apples to eat. They were planting them to make hard cider, and they didn't care whether they tasted bad because they made maybe even better hard cider than good-tasting apples. But occasionally, just because of genetic variation, one of those seedlings would be a good-tasting apple. And by occasionally, I mean, one out of a thousand. I mean, pretty unusual. But they were planting thousands of trees. And one of those was a large, really tasty, great baking apple, the Northern, and they named it Northern Spy. And that has been basically cloned since then. So, any Northern Spy tree came from a cutting from that original Northern Spy tree on, here in the Finger Lakes. And again, just south of 5 and 20 and Route 64, or on your way to Bristol Mountain, there's one of those blue historic markers noting the Northern Spy. So, apples do not, go and buy a Northern Spy apple at Herd Orchards and you plant those seeds, you will not get Northern Spies. You will get probably inedible apples that bear virtually no relation in the way they look or taste to the Northern Spy. So some things, some fruits and vegetables, you can plant the seeds and you get pretty much what you had before. But with apples, you get nothing like the original apple. This period before Prohibition and when land was being turned over to agriculture, huge areas of farms, they were planting probably millions of apple seedlings. And I think I've mentioned before, Botany of Desire, a book by Michael Pollan, who's famous for Omnivore's Dilemma, but earlier wrote Botany of Desire. One of his key chapters is about the apple, and it's fascinating to read just how the modern apples came to be. And Northern Spy is one of those, which is from our area. So Cornell didn't develop it. It was, a farm, here in the Finger Lakes that happened to grow a good tasting apple. I don't know. It would be interesting to know, how they discovered it. You have an orchard with, at least hundreds of trees, if not more, and do you go and taste each of those apples just to see if one's good, or did this Northern Spy apple just look so different that it was irresistible to taste, and they discovered it was a really delicious eating apple and baking apple? It would be fun to know some more details about how and sort of why they tasted it, because again, these were generally, I think, fairly large orchards, and all these apples would just go into hard cider. And again, Northern Spy found right here in our area, and you can get those at Herd Orchards. Yesterday, I did another scouting trip for the spotted lanternfly, which Smithsonian Magazine has a really good article on it right now. You can look it up online. It's smithsonianmag.com, and I'll look up the spotted lanternfly. It's their October issue, and they interviewed some of the farmers and vineyard owners in Pennsylvania where the spotted lanternfly is wreaking havoc right now, with I think 26 or 28 counties of Pennsylvania under quarantine, which is something like a third of the counties in, or maybe even close to a half of the counties in Pennsylvania are now under quarantine. So this is not coronavirus quarantine. This is quarantine to keep nursery stock and Christmas trees and a whole variety of things from moving outside of those counties and potentially bringing this insect to other parts of Pennsylvania and other parts of the Northeast. Someone posted just a couple days ago on Facebook, a friend of someone here in our area, that they just killed one of these on a parking lot, and it didn't say where they lived. So, you know, you assume they might live here in the Finger Lakes and know, they obviously know this mutual friend. And it turned out they live in Delaware, and found one of these in a parking lot in Delaware, and killed it and reported it to the state of Delaware. It's been found in Maryland and small parts of Virginia, West Virginia. So perhaps it is moving south faster than it is north, but we need to keep an eye out for it here in our area and catch it before it gets established. So I did a scouting trip to the east. I've done much of the Finger Lakes, but hadn't gone to Skinny Atlas. And I stopped in Weedsport as I decided, well, two things. As I mentioned on the food show, I was already getting hungry, and I knew there was a really wonderful bakery in Skinny Atlas. And it sort of made sense to start as far east as I was going to for the day, so that as I worked my way back toward Rochester, you know, I could get back to Waterloo or Seneca Falls fairly easily. It was a longer drive to get back to Skinny Atlas. So I figured I'd start at the furthest point, which luckily happened to have a bakery. And so I got off the thruway in Weedsport, which I virtually never do. I've driven the thruway probably thousands of times, and, you know, driven by the Weedsport exit, which is generally exactly an hour from Rochester. Timing, you know, coming home, letting people know when I'll be back or whatever. I pretty much know when I hit Weedsport, I am 1 hour from our house in Rochester. So, but I don't get off the Weedsport exit and look around. It's not a big town. And so this time I did, and really some gorgeous houses. I was on my way to Skinny Atlas, but decided to check Weedsport for the spotted lanternfly. And the way you do this is you look for the tree that they really love. Although they are happy to eat grapevines and hops and orchards, they really love this tree of heaven. And so that's what my scouting is. I'm looking for this tree, marking the locations, and then seeing if the insect is on it, which it might still be at this point of the year, although the cold is going to kill it off soon, and the egg cases are much harder to find. And I didn't find much of this tree of heaven, but I was thinking, you know, it's likely that we're going to find this insect near whatever vector of transportation it arrives on. It's not going to fly here from Pennsylvania anytime soon because it doesn't fly that well. But it will get here probably by car, by train, by truck, boat trailer. So maybe better to check areas like an exit off the thruway, although It's more likely someone coming from Pennsylvania is going to come up through Bath and Corning and Ithaca. So that's why I've scouted Bath and Corning. I still need to get to Ithaca and scout that area, and maybe Cortland. But again, looking near train tracks, truck depots, hotels, those seem to be the most logical places that an insect that hitchhiked here would get off, you know, the vehicle and head for one of the trees that they love. So far I haven't found any. I didn't find any yesterday, but I did find some really cool houses in Weedsport, and you kind of have to get off on the side streets to see some of these. But one of the largest and most beautifully painted, or painted lady Victorian houses that I've seen, it wasn't sunny yet when I was there yesterday. The sun came out later, so the photo I took just doesn't do justice to it. But it's gorgeous, gorgeous house, and carriage house in back had a I don't know what they call the sort of an entryway where for the carriage to go through to the carriage house, where it was covered, and the people could get in their carriage without getting in the rain or the snow. It was just a lovely house, and really, I thought kind of a surprising number, given how small I think Weedsport, my impression of Weedsport, and I really know absolutely zero of the history of Weedsport, so I need to do a little more research, because there are some cool things there to explore. And I've got to check Chris Clemens, his Exploring Upstate blog, and see if he's been into Weedsport and maybe done some blog posts about it. It's exploringupstate.com. He's also one that designed my new website, so eternally grateful to him for that help. And he's been to, I say, most communities around our area. I expect he's probably explored Weedsport, but I gotta check and see what he's written about it. If not, maybe he will in the near future, as I sent him a couple of photos of these houses. That was another one, though. Beautifully painted house. Just, they are huge houses, rivaling, the size of anything that we have in Rochester. The houses, these were more similar to the ones on, say, Oxford Street than to the mansions on East Avenue, just partly the era that they were built. So we have some really beautiful, large Victorians on Oxford Street. So, again, this search for this insect has taken me into some interesting side streets and towns and villages that I just hadn't explored up till now. And then I went to Skinny Atlas in Auburn, and of course went to that bakery, the patisserie behind the Sherwood Inn, and walked a little bit around downtown Skinny Atlas, which I'd never really driven down along the lake, and there's some stunning and very large estates and things around Skinny Atlas Lake. And I hadn't really explored downtown that much. You sort of go to the main street where the stores and shops are, and a couple of the restaurants look like Mirbeau is building and adding on. More sort of summer condos. I'm not sure what they're doing, but they're adding to their property just on the town side of where Mirbeau is on the hill. And we'll see what they're constructing there, but it looks like quite a big project. Off on the side streets in Skinny Atlas, some really neat homes and estates to drive by. And Really, it'd be better to do this with a bicycle. It was a little bit chilly to do that yesterday, but I think in the future, warmer weather, like next summer, I'm going to do some of this exploration by bicycle so that I can take photos more easily. I can get around more easily in the small towns and just able to see more details from a bicycle than from driving by. So then I headed to Auburn and sent Chris Clemens a photo of Morrow's Table. Edward Morrow has a restaurant in Auburn and was the chef at Mirbeau for the first 10 years that they were open. One of the really phenomenal chefs of our region. And it's Morrow, Morrow's Table in Auburn. And because I was in Auburn, Chris asked me if I saw the Murder of Crows. And I thought perhaps that the city of Auburn had decided to kill a bunch of the crows that come into their cemetery each night, I don't know, like 10,000 of them. It's a big number. And so I texted Chris, said, "No, I haven't seen any dead crows here in Auburn." He said, "Well, it's actually the term for a large flock of crows is a murder, Murder." And I guess it goes back to sort of folk tales and probably the fact that crows hung out at battlefields and it's they're scavengers. So anyway, there are no dead crows that I know of in Auburn, and it's the term used for a large group of crows. And I thought once he sent the thing that said the murder of crows, I thought maybe he was talking about a murmuration of birds, which is a totally different word, but it refers to really large groups of birds, but not crows generally. These are smaller birds that fly in a tight group. And if you know, starlings are one that there's an example of online. You can look up murmuration. NPR has a really good video. And fish also do this in a way when they're swimming, some of them, in these tight groups and forming different shapes. And just the shape of the flock changes as they move around. It's really kind of mesmerizing to see. So murmuration is the term for the movement of a group which looks very coordinated in the sky. And there are many examples you can find online of those. But a murder of crows is just a really, really big group of crows. And I guess there's a couple other terms from this is from NPR's website for the groups of various animals, an ostentation of peacocks, a parliament of owls, a knot of frogs, and a skulk of foxes. And there's probably some fascinating stories behind the terms for each of those. So that's from NPR's website when you look up the Murder of Crows and some of the background on that. So Auburn is known for these crows, and it wasn't that late. I think I left Auburn around 4 o'clock, and you could see crows flying into town. They do it in Rochester too. They've been trying to keep them from roosting in Washington Square Park. That's kind of an annual challenge, I think, using noise machines and lights and sound cannons to keep them from roosting in Washington Square Park. Because wherever they roost, when you have thousands of crows, which are fairly large birds, they leave a mess, a really, really big mess. So, again, we don't have the quantities that Auburn does of crows, but we have a lot. And actually, the NPR page says that since 1999, the West Nile virus has killed about almost half of American crows. That's unfortunate, but I'm sure the people in Auburn that have tens of thousands of them come visit every night wish they didn't have quite so many. So, and Auburn is a challenging city to investigate, partly because there's a lot of one-way streets and really kind of odd turns. And I sort of go into a city with sort of a mental map of the city, and smaller towns like Skinny Atlas are pretty easy because there's a lake on one side of them. And Rochester's pretty easy. You have the inner loop, and then sort of spokes of streets that go out from there. But in Auburn, I know I got to take a look at a map, but it is just it's hard to figure out, hard for me to figure out in my head where I am. GPS, of course, helps tremendously, but it's an odd layout. I'm not sure exactly why that is, but I'm sure there's a good story about it from the Auburn historian. But lots of neat areas to discover, and in all of these towns, you should go in search of some of the different neighborhoods and find some of the old houses, because they are, it's fun to drive through, and especially beautiful now with all the fall colors. So if you have some suggestions or parts, maybe you're familiar with Auburn or familiar with some other town or city around the Finger Lakes in our area, and have specific suggestions of streets to go and search for, I'll love to do that at some point, and I'll pass them along to Chris Clemens too, to see if he gets there and maybe does a post about it. One of our listeners sent me a note because they loved what I'd mentioned about Perry, one of my favorite small towns, and they had a couple other suggestions of small towns out that way that you might want to visit. East Bethany was one of those, and I've heard of East Bethany, but I've never been there, and now I'm going to make it a point to go there. That's the kind of thing that sends me off in different directions. Recommendations from our listeners, and Warsaw and Batavia, a couple other places that he mentioned. But he says East Bethany is a breathtaking little town, absolute classic. Also said Leroy area, some excellent food. It says LB Grand, the Eagle, and the Creekside Old Smoke Barbecue, the fish fry at the Leroy Country Club is astounding, very old school, according to him. Woody's Deli, an amazing little place. Everything, even the bread, is made in-house. And he says they make a meatball sub that you'd fight your mom for, which is a good way to put it. And then the Red Osier is not that far away, and I haven't been to the Red Osier in many, many years. So he also talked about the Village of Wyoming and this great old building, the Bar Hotel Tavern. So got some exploring to do, and I guess they have gas lamps still in the Village of Wyoming. So, again, love to get emails like this. I really appreciate the details and suggestions on specific places. So please send those along, michael@saverlife.com. Send me a few photos, maybe just as you're out driving, things that you might discover, or perhaps some of your favorite places. michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back tomorrow with the Grapevine at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning here at saverlife.com. Enjoy this beautiful weather. Have a great day.